Hello, everybody. This is Packard Pokes at the staff meeting. This is episode 405. I'm going to try to reach Connie now. Attempt to. My computer's been acting a little bonky. Of course, when doesn't it act strange? Hello. Hello.
How are you?
I'm tired.
That was me yesterday. I feel a little bit more rested today, but yes.
Can I zap a little of that strength over here?
Okay, I'm sending it right now.
Okay. I remember when sending files, you know, just the only way you could actually see anything of anybody else at the time was it was called DCC or something like that. I'd say they, if you were like on IRC, you'd say, okay, I'm going to DCC you some food. I'll send you some food or something. You know, it's like, okay, I got pizza here. Oh, send me some. All right, I'll DCC it to you.
Is Tom going to show up for the meeting today?
Thank you for reminding me. I almost forgot about that. I just having one of those days here. I can try calling him.
Well, he was supposed to be hosting this week.
He is. Oh, that's right. So. He is. So it'd be a good idea to get in touch with him. At least try to, anyway. We're probably going to get his answering machine. Skype is awesome.
Probably.
It's ringing or something. I felt like such an ass that I forgot to invite Adam to the call last week. I felt so bad. I was like, oh, I am so sorry. Oh, no answer. I didn't even get the.
I'm looking in the Facebook feed here.
Huh, that's odd.
Don't see him online.
I will try to call Adam again here. I have my phone set up for the camera for the Facebook feed here, so I can't exactly call him or text him or anything right now. Oh, wait, there he is. Tom.
You have to give me a couple minutes?
Yeah, we can give you a couple minutes.
All right. Yay.
Hey, we remembered you this time. I am so embarrassed. I feel so bad. I just wanted to jump into the nearest hole and cover myself over when I said, Tom's like, I was waiting for you. He was like, oh shit, I'm so sorry. Don't beat me.
No worries. In fact, I was a little late now because my daughter was supposed to do her homework and eat, and she took too long.
Uh-oh.
I could drop her off at a friend's, but now she's at a friend's.
Oh.
So let me get my coat off and stuff, and I'll call in a couple minutes.
Oh, just stay on the line with us, Tom, and I'll call you back here or something. Just text me or something on the Skype here, and I'll add you back in.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, because it's really clicky.
Yeah, that's because Connie was clicking on her keyboard. That wasn't anything you were hearing there.
No, I mean it's the connection doesn't sound good.
Oh, it doesn't sound real good. Okay, all right. Well, then I'll just how long do you need? About 5?
Yes.
All right, I'll call you back here in about 5.
Okay, thanks.
All right, bye. Okay. I had some interesting stories. I just got to find them again now.
Oh, okay. I have that. I opened up the Free Thinker this week, and it's like lots and lots of good stories too. Because it's
I had some that I had found on my Google Plus. I actually reposted them to my Google Plus. So let me see if I can let me find them, because sometimes people are going, "Whoa, you got to post that." So I'm like, "Okay." Let's see here. Oh, here. Now, this one I'm a little skeptical about. It is from the New York Times. I got to find my Skype window again. I've just updated my computer. There's not a thing I can do with it. So, you know, like they say, you know, do something. It's like, I just washed my hair and I can't do a thing with it. So. Okay, now, I don't know how old. I have not looked at this story, so I don't know how old it is. Let me know when that 5 minutes is up so I can add Tom back in.
Sure.
Okay, it's from December 13th. It's recent. Now, the title of this is Christians in the United States Are Less Educated Than Religious Minorities. That's an interesting headline there. Religious minorities in the United States are far more likely to have attended college or vocational school than the members of the Christian majority, according to a review of census and survey data from 151 countries. I thought that was counties. Released on Tuesday, found that wide gaps in education among followers of the world's major religions, plural. The review is based on data from 2010 and conducted by the Pew Research Center. Okay, they're fairly reputable. Which also found an education gap between men and women with religious groups. The researchers said the educational differences among the faiths were rooted in immigration policies that favor the educated, as well as in political, economic, and historical factors. There were 267 million Christians in the United States when the data was collected, but only 36% of them had a post-secondary education, including college or vocational school, the researchers said. That made them the least educated religious group in the country. Oh, my God. That's just too funny.
Okay.
That's just too funny. The fact is that Christians are the majority, but all these other religions are actually smarter than they are in the education department.
Well, they don't value it. They think that, you know, it's, and as preached from so many pulpits, it's.
Yeah, you know, there was this thing that was on my, came from Right Wing Watch. One of these fuckers said that they're calling these people professors intellectual pedophiles. I'm like, what the fuck is that? What the fuck is an intellectual pedophile?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
I don't either. That's what. Let me see if I can find it here.
Okay.
It was just, what are you fucking talking about? Here it is. Oh. All right, Lance Walnew, college professors are priests of Baal and intellectual pedophiles.
He doesn't understand what a pedophile is, I think.
I think so, yeah. And, apparently they're all college professors are priests of Baal, Baal, you know, apparently likes education, whatever that means.
Well, and pedophiles, generally we accept that a pedophile is somebody who is raping or molesting
or has an attraction
a young child, yeah. Not a, you know, because people who go to college are adults.
Right. And they have a predilection for people who are just underage. It doesn't necessarily mean that they've done it. They just means that they have an attraction to them.
Right. And I think that to interpret that is saying that it's the corruption and the rape of the mind of our youth. Is what he's trying to imply, I think.
Well, let's see what he has to... Let's see if we can hear this here. Let's...
Really struck me as being the insidious sleeping giant is education.
What?
Because remember what Jesus said? He accused the Pharisees of making twofold more children of hell as a result of their teaching. Then I listened to a real radical professor by the name of Ward Churchill, who's out in the West, and he's one of the key textbook professors that tears up America and despises it and thinks it should be annihilated. It's a great evil in the world. And he's a celebrated campus professor. And I listened to him on an interview, kind of a mini debate with Dinesh D'Souza one night. And he said, oh yeah, he said, most of us that are professors are the frustrated radicals from the 60s. We were burning flags and in rebellion back then, and all we did is we got older, we were professing something. And guess what? When you're professing something, the natural next step is to become a professor. So the radicals of the 60s went into the education mountain, built their own little like world system to sustain them economically, and became tenured professors in liberal universities. So the professors are people that profess. And I was...
What does one fucking thing have to do with the other?
Well, his analogy is really crappy, because the Pharisees were actually like the Pope and the cardinals. They were religious leaders. And so he needs to point the fingers back at himself.
Yeah.
They're the ones making the children twice as fit for hell. And as for that, it's taking just one person's statement and extrapolating from it stuff that he doesn't even understand.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand what the protests were, I think, in the 60s. And he's trying to say all professors are this, because this one guy said this.
It's an argument from authority, basically. Okay, let me try getting Tom. Oh, there he is. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me try getting back Tom here. I just gotta get my, there you are. All right, add to the call. All right. Try to add you back here, Tom. Playing telephone tag today.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there you are, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Greetings and sad mutations.
Sad mutations. Yeah, that describes my day. Thank you. We were just listening to this guy named Lance Wanoo. He says, college professors are priests of Baal and intellectual pedophiles. We've got about a minute and 15 seconds into this. There's about a minute left of this. I just want to catch you up on all this shit.
And I thought, well, isn't a Christian someone who professes something? Don't we have something to profess?
Yeah.
Why aren't we as practical as that? Why didn't we think about if we got something to profess, we should be professors? Because the professor...
Oh, no, 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 no. It doesn't work that way. You don't, just because you have something to say doesn't mean you're a professor, fucking asshole.
yeah. And the janitor is a pastor too, right?
Yeah.
Because he took a couple hours of a class.
He read the in the beginning. That, hey, you're pastor now. Oh well, great.
What did you hear about the priest in China, who declared himself a bishop?
No.
Decided he should be a bishop, and so he just decided he would, take on the garb and take up the position.
Oh,
Vatican.
Do you have a link for that story? I gotta see that story. Send me, find that link and send it to us here and put it in the Skype window. We'll check that out in a minute here. You don't get to be this guy is so fucking far off the mark. You don't get to be a professor because you have something to profess. That's not what that means.
I like toasted cheese sandwiches.
That's like,
I think I'm a toasted cheese sandwich.
Ugh, that's a logical fallacy. That's like saying I can see it in my head. I just can't think of it. What off the top of my head, what it is? It's where you use ambiguity of language. It's an ambiguity of language fallacy. It's like, hey, it said it was fine for parking here. Well, it's so I parked there because it's fine for parking.
what are we supposed to think when Christians first rebuttal to most atheists or skeptics is that, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Just because you're educated doesn't mean you know everything.
Oh, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
The smart ones actually proclaim it from the rooftops that there is no God. That's what I always tell them. All right, let's hear the rest of this, see what this fucker has to say.
are the factory foremen that are shaping the minds of the next generation. And anything we do regarding abortion, prayer, marriage, anything we do that doesn't get into the educational narrative that's affecting the minds of students will be lost within 8 to 10 years because the factory is producing. Because you've got gatekeeper priests. Really, these are priests of Baal at the
What? They're not priests of Baal. Jesus fucking Christ. They are educators. Just because you don't like the fact is that they are not shoving your religion down their throats doesn't mean that they are priests of Baal.
Oh. Makes them feel inadequate.
Oh my fucking God.
But they
might be. If they're priests of Baal, I'm
so,
king of England.
And so what? Guess what? There's freedom of religion.
That's right.
In America, and somebody wants to worship Baal as long as they're not throwing babies on a hot plate.
That's right. Know. Hey, maybe they are. Yeah.
There's freedom of religion as long as you're Christian.
Yeah, right.
The right religion, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's what they... All right. You're right, Connie. You are absolutely 100% right. Let's just say that they are a priest of Baal. So fucking what? It's none of their business. It's none of their business.
No.
What they practice at home is none of their business as long as they don't bring it to them. This fucker is saying in this instance, because they are trying to teach them and educate them to, you know, open their mind to other things that they are trying to subvert their religion. That's what they're thinking.
Those biblical glasses, right?
Yeah, they're trying to take the, you know, hey, bring those biblical glasses down a little bit and see the world around you. Pull the rose-colored glasses off your face a little bit. Jesus Christ. All right,
but they look so good.
Tom, I've seen you in glasses. You do look good in those glasses. I'm just saying. Me, not so much.
The University Mountain, poisoning the minds.
There it is. Poisoning the minds. Poisoning the minds against their religion is what they're thinking.
Poisoning them with facts.
Yeah, facts. Facts are something that they don't like. Facts and Christianity are just two things that have never been very compatible with each other.
Special pedophiles molesting the virgin territory of your children's imaginations.
Wow. Of their imagination.
Oh, he's raping their imaginations. Wow.
Doing their, you know, pants.
I thought that they were supposed to throw down imaginations.
Yeah.
Anything faces up against the mind of God.
I am just...
Did he just admit that God's imaginary?
I think so. I think he did.
Where does God live? In my mind.
In your mind, apparently.
Yeah.
That was the last seconds of it anyway. There's something we could talk about. I'm working a way so we can play these, so we can play them live, and then I can just pause them when I want to, and we can just talk about them. We did that on the last one. I had to boost up the audio. I didn't realize that the audio was so low that it wasn't coming through the thing for the chat room very well. By the way, after the meeting for the show, if you guys can stick around for a few minutes, I've got some stuff we need to go over too. So off air meeting stuff.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a look at what Tom's got here.
In China, some priest wanted to be a bishop really, really, really bad, but the Vatican said no. So he said, screw you, I'm going to make myself a bishop.
I'm looking at that.
The Vatican said, uh-uh.
Vatican on Monday denounced the decision of a priest in China's underground Catholic Church, dun-dun-dun, to be ordained bishop without the Pope's approval. Oh, no, you did something without our permission. Like, that's never happened before. The statement was apparent and moved by the Vatican to diffuse tensions with China as negotiations proceeded on reaching an overall agreement on bishop nominations. Reverend Doug Guahana of Hebei It sounds like something that you get on your skin, the heebie. I got the heebies.
Heebie-jeebies.
Heebie-jeebies. Announced, I got the heebie-jeebies. Announced his ordination on September and offered to ordain others without the Pope's mandate.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. It's like, I did it to myself. I can do it for you, too.
Oh, my gosh. The move, however, was immediately condemned by other clergy of the underground church, the Vatican-affiliated Asia News Missionary, a news agency, reported. On Monday, the Vatican Press Office said the Holy See, they're both capitalized, the Holy See. The Holy See, it must be special see because it's holy. Hadn't authorized any such ordinations, and that, if true, they would constitute a grave crime in church law.
What he should have done is he should have made himself a cardinal, and he had more power.
There you go. He should have just made himself pope. Why just make himself pope? I'm pope now. I'm pope. I'm pope over here.
I'm the China pope.
I'm the China pope. It's all fucking make believe. Who fucking cares?
Apparently, they do.
Oh, wait a minute. This is too old. It was up from November 7th. It's funny, though. It's fucking hilarious, though.
Dang it.
Damn. I would have loved to have talked about this. This is so funny. I wish we had found it sooner, though. Connie, did you find something for from that? What was the name of that site again?
The Free Thinker.
The Free Thinker. Okay.
Here, I'm just going to send the.
Yeah, send me the link.
And that way Tom can see it, too.
Sure.
This was what we used last week, and it was.
Oh, yeah.
Lifesaver.
Yeah, we found some really good stuff on this one here. Oklahoma's war on abortion reaches new levels of insanity. Okay, let's take a look there. I like the next one on the second paragraph there. We'll get to that one in a minute. I want that one. I want to talk about at least here anyway. Okay. Oklahoma's war on abortion reaches new levels of insanity. A doctor who violates the law would be committing a felony punishable up to 3 years in prison and the loss of his or her medical license. What the fuck? All right. Earlier this year, Oklahoma House Representative voted to overwhelmingly to bar doctors from performing abortions in all cases except to save the woman's life. Wouldn't all cases mean stop even that? All, doesn't the word all encompass everything around it? It has now emerged that Oklahoma's war on abortion includes a provision that the state must create propaganda for the purpose of achieving an anti-abortion free society. And that an anti-abortion sign must be posted by January inside the toilets of hospitals, nursing homes. Yeah, because we all know everybody in the nursing home is actively trying to get pregnant. Restaurants and public schools.
Wait, Oklahoma. This is Kim Davis' state, right?
No, that's Kansas. That's Kentucky, actually.
Okay, all right.
Oklahoma is the place that killed my mother.
Oh, God.
No, actually, that was the last state. That was not the last state I touched. The last state I touched the last time I spoke to her was in Ohio. I was forced to go to Oklahoma that day. So, not forced, but, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
Long story. Anyway.
Well.
Businesses and other organizations will have to pay an estimated $2.3 million to put up the signs because the legislature didn't approve any money for them. Oh, we want to do this, but... You're going to have to pay for it yourself. We want to push our propaganda, but you're paying the bill for it. It's like Trump's like, I'm going to make the Mexicans, I'm going to build a wall, and Mexico's going to pay for it. It's the same kind of bullshit. Groups representing hospitals and restaurants are among those complaining that the new law requirements are expensive, unfunded mandate from the legislature. Said Jim Hooper, president of the Oklahoma Restaurant Association, we don't have any concern about the information they're trying to get out to women about their body, babies and their pregnancy. This is just the wrong way to do it. It's just another mandate on small businesses. It's not just restaurants. It includes hospitals, nursing homes. It just doesn't make any sense. Okay, the first off, it doesn't make any sense because none of those places have anything to do with abortion or pregnancy. Yeah. If I take, all right, let's just say I'm dating somebody and she goes in there's like, oh, I was thinking about having sex, but I might get pregnant now and I might not want to keep it. So I might want to have an abortion. So I guess this date's fucking over. I'm going to go home end up playing with my prick by myself because the fucking goddamn fucking abortion sign's got her out of the mood now. Thanks a lot.
You know, I have to wonder if we look at the statistics for Oklahoma, how many of them have at least a partial secondary education. How low those numbers must be. Holy
The
cats.
Anti-abortion group Oklahomans for Life requested the bill. So that means that they get it right away. It's like, yeah, we want you to put all these stupid things in place. Okay, we will do that just because you asked. Fucking assholes. The sponsor, Republican, did you not see that one coming? Senator A.J. Griffin said she may revise the measure in the upcoming legislature session to more narrowly target it to exclude some facilities. Okay. I do see how it is going to need to be tempered a tad. We need to make sure we have something that's reasonable and still effective.
I'm surprised they don't blame dancing.
Yeah.
And drinking. Like, is this dancing? Footloose?
Dancing.
I'm thinking of Footloose.
This is turning into the whole state of Oklahoma is the fucking, it's the fucking movie Footloose.
Just like.
You can't go to Oklahoma to dance because that might lead to sex, and sex leads to abortions.
Has somebody pointed out to them that by putting a sign in the bathroom about pregnancy and about abortion, that they're actually giving young people ideas?
No, they don't think of that.
They thought about
think...
having sex, but now they can't stop thinking about it because.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, can you imagine the conversation?
Signs to say.
Go ahead, Tom.
What?
They need to have signs say, don't think about sex. That'll
do it. I like that.
All right, now this is gonna sound like think of the children fallacy. But can you imagine this kid's gonna go in there and say, "Mommy, what does that say? That says something about abortion. What's abortion, Mommy?"
I think that you read the Bible and say, "Doesn't it say right in the Bible, go forth and multiply?" Isn't this what we're supposed to do?
Yeah.
Well, you know how in the
and it also the Bible has nothing
in the flood. Yeah.
And the Bible has no problem with abortion.
I can say in the flood, all those babies died. So yeah.
Oh, I've brought that up to Christians, and they're like, "Well, those babies were evil anyway, so it doesn't matter."
or God was saving those babies by killing them.
Yeah,
then they went right.
Yeah.
They went right to heaven to God's nursery.
Well, then if killing baby, if killing.
Defense.
Yeah, if abortion, or then I ask him this: does abortion send those babies to heaven? Then what's the problem?
Really? It's the William Lane Craig.
It's a win-win. It's
yes,
a win.
It
it's a win-win situation.
Yep.
I was helping them. Helping
You're
them.
You're just
along.
Helping them. You're just helping them into heaven.
Hitler must have done a lot of good then, huh?
Yeah.
Argument at Hitler. I know,
now, here it says here under the state law, the signs would state there are many public and private agencies willing and able to help you carry your child to term and assist you and your child after your child is born. No, there's not. Bullshit. Republicans just want these fucking children to be born, and then after that, fuck off. We don't want to hear from you. Don't ask for money. Don't ask for help. Go fuck yourself. Go get a job, you fucking wench. You fucking lazeabout. Whether you choose to keep your child or place him or her up for adoption, the state of Oklahoma strongly urges you to contact them if you are pregnant. What a fucking bunch of drivel.
I'll be sure to put the well. Let's put the governor on speed dial. Should we give out his number?
Yeah, do we have the number?
I don't know, but I mean,
we need to put the
we need to help these people, people who are getting pregnant.
Yeah.
He says he's going to take care of it.
Yeah, he says he's going to take care of it. All right, let's go to the next story here. Now, this one I like. I really like the title on this next story here. This is amazing, shocking. Could you imagine this? This is shocking. What a surprise. Study found that prayer won't cure AIDS. Dun, dun, dun. The Chicago Tribune.
What?
Yeah, imagine that. Carries a shocking report detailing the amount of taxpayers' money used to fund studies into quack therapies in the United States. For example, scientists were given, I love this number, $666,000.
The crystals don't cure cancer.
Yeah. The scientists were given $666,000 in federal aid research money to investigate whether distant prayers could heal AIDS. They found... They found it could not.
Okay, that I can hear it now. It's because of the number of, that they gave them. It was demonic.
It was a demonic amount of money.
And so the study is skewed, right?
And a study that cost $374,000 found that inhaling lemon and lavender scents doesn't do a whole lot of ability to heal a wound. All those numbers are divided. They're close to six in some fashion. Four is two away from six. Seven's one away from six, and three is three away from six. So it's 666 still.
Yeah. But inhaling lemons and lavender does clear out your chakras.
Inhaling lemon clears out my sinuses.
Oh my god.
The lavender makes me sneeze.
The National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine also helped pay scientists to study whether squirting brewed coffee into someone's intestines can help treat pancreatic cancer. $406,000 grant. I have got to find these grants. I have got to do these. I got to do these studies. If I put coffee up someone's pooper,
it's a coffee enema.
It's a coffee, and you know what? They just poop coffee.
It's like hearing people say, I'm going on a cleanse diet. You know what? Uh-huh. I mean, you can do things that'll help your liver, but body detoxes itself usually every day.
That's like those people that those things you put them on your foot pad things. You put them on your feet and they detox your feet. It's like, no, that doesn't work. That's fucking bullshit. And whether people make it makes people with advanced cancer feel better. $1.25 million. I've got to find these studies. The coffee enemas, surprisingly enough, did not help. The massage did. NCCAM also invested in the studies of various forms of energy healing, including one that the ideas of self-described quote-unquote healer, clairvoyant, and medicine woman, unquote, who says her children inspired her to learn and read auras. The cost of that was $104,000. I can read auras. You don't look very happy today. Your aura is really red because you're in a very angry mood. Come back and when your aura is better. That was actually a thing. All right. A couple of years, no, more than a couple of years ago, it was about, I'd say about 20 years ago almost. They had this, there was this guy who was on Unsolved Mysteries or something. This guy claimed that he could see auras and shit. And he apparently, supposedly, didn't get on a certain elevator because all the people that were on the elevator didn't have an aura. So he's like, oh my God, that's really weird. So he doesn't get on the elevator, and that elevator promptly crashed. Supposedly. That's how they did it on TV. And this guy, he's like, this woman come over to talk to him. She was really upset, and he says, oh, your aura is really red. You got to go and you got to go away because I can't talk to you because your aura is really red right now. It's like, and she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? So you could see the confusion in their face and the reactor and reaction or reenactment of it. So, and apparently the guy died a few number of years prior, so there's no way to ask him about any of this crap. But auras, seeing auras is bullshit too. Oh, this is so funny. It's a little dry, but it's not bad.
Yeah, it only opens up with prayer, but it actually is about woo.
Yeah, it's a woo story. It's a definite woo story.
Tom had shared something in the
Tom, did you share something in the chat room?
Huh?
Oh, you did say something. Okay, hold on.
Vatican launches website after sex abuse. They're finally acknowledging it. They're doing a website trying to avoid sex abuse.
How to avoid it? Don't priest, go to the priest.
They're not going to talk to the priest. They're going to go to the website to make the priest aware, right, of it, that they're not supposed to.
Oh, okay. Vatican's launched a new website detailing its efforts to protect children from sexual abuse by clergy. Oh, my God. And I was going to redact completely 2016. Something from 2016 actually made something better. Holy shit. Oh, by the way, you guys probably heard by now, Alan Thicke died.
Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently he was playing hockey with his kid and he had a heart attack. So you know what the moral of that story is? Don't play hockey with your kids when you're 69 years old.
69.
He was 69. Yeah, that's a date. That's how old I want to be when I go.
Why isn't that also like? I'm just thinking about how many people were 69 this year that died. I think that was a thing, but
yeah,
maybe not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see here. The first time the Vatican is publishing the documents and resources in one place, including an email and phone number to contact its commissions for the commissioner, was established in 2013 and is headed by Boston Cardinal Sean O'Malley. Wasn't he one of the people who was involved in that shit? Did we not cover one of these cardinals that was... They put him in charge of this shit, and he was actually one of the people who was actually... shuffling around those fuckers?
I don't know. I mean, I do remember somebody, but I don't think that was him. I don't think
maybe
it was
maybe it wasn't him. There were so many
have
of them
to look it up.
Yeah, we have to look it up. But maybe it wasn't him. I don't remember. There was just so many of these people we've covered over the years. It's important to the commission that we are as transparent as possible. Since when? Project coordinator Emer, whatever. McCartney told CNN Tuesday, our members want people to know that what they are doing is their best, level best, to carry out the commission of the Holy Father. Much of the work of the commission is listening, studying, and reflection. So there will not be day-to-day updates, but the website is the vehicle to let people know that we are here.
We are here.
I like the way they put that over there. I had to scroll down a little bit, and it was over on the left side.
Up here on the second paragraph, it said, including email and phone number to contact its commission for the protection of minors.
Right.
Who is supposed to be using this website? Is this supposed to be for people reporting it, or is this supposed to be educating of priests? I don't...
This is a smokescreen to pretend that they're doing something when they're not actually doing anything.
Yeah, you know what?
People... think that they're doing something.
You know, I agree. I actually agree. It's like, okay, we're going to do something now. Okay, everybody, the heat's off now. We put up a website, and then the number is going to go to a phone bank, which nobody's going to talk to or answer or reply. And no one will know that anybody called because no one will want to come out with it then anymore.
Well, it's more bureaucracy and paperwork and real estate. All this that the church can make money off of. They'll raise money for it by having people fill the coffers.
Yeah. It says here, from 2004 to 2014, the report said, apparently this was a report that came out a few years ago, that 848 priests were defrocked, with 2,572 of them received lesser penalties. Oh,
Wow.
Oh, man. Hand slapper. The pace increased in the last 2 years of Pope Benedict pontificate, with 384 of those of the 848 being defrocked in between 2011 and 2012. Oh, you just got defrocked. Oh, sad day, dude. You just lost your job. Oh, go to jail? No. We'll protect you from jail. We don't want you to get killed in jail for fucking with kids, because we know that's what would happen.
We're supposed to feel better that within Pope Benedict's reign, he's done 384 of those 848. Great.
This doesn't make me feel any better. This just makes me feel even sicker.
Well, let's see, because they put a lot of effort into doing absolutely nothing. That's the next story I put up. The Pope's intentions for December. He wants everybody to pray for child soldiers, because praying will really help the situation for them. It'll help them out a lot.
We talked about this was on my Google Plus, I think. What the hell? Tom, you go ahead and lead off on this while I'm trying to figure out what the hell happened to the last story I was thinking about here. Go ahead.
Well, there's not a lot of details in this, but it's just, once again, the Vatican and the Pope think, well, if we get everybody together and pray on this situation, and in this particular one, it's the child soldiers, that they're going to fix something. They're going to help somebody by getting everybody to pray on it.
Yeah.
Oh, and even non-believers.
Yeah.
He wants us to pray.
To get everybody, even those who don't give a shit about prayer, to get them to pray, that'll definitely do something. That'll turn the tide.
Wow.
Or you could get on Facebook, and if you get them a million likes, that'll fix their situation too.
Yeah, I've seen plenty of memes like that. I didn't get enough likes, so I guess little Tommy's getting cancer and dying.
Actually, if we were to cover that, that would be a good picture to pull up. Oh,
I found that story, by the way. It's in the
what?
It's in the yeah. That.
7 and 8 years old.
Yep, that's the one. That's the one. This happened just the other day. A pair of girls believed to be between 7 and 8 blew themselves up in a bustling northeastern Nigerian market in Maiduguri, killing themselves and injuring at least 17 others, according to a local official with the militia member. The attack carried out by the two suicide bombers killed at least 3 people, according to the state emergency agency. NEMA spokesman Senna Danti, who spoke for Reuters, the locals told local news agency that up to 9 people died. Local militia member Abu Kajabo told AFP he saw the girls seconds before the explosion. They got out of the rickshaw and walked right up in front of me without showing any the slightest sign of emotion. He said, I tried to speak with one of them in Hausa and in English, but she didn't answer. I thought they were looking for their mother. One of the girls headed towards the poultry sellers and then detonated her explosive belt. The suicide bombers were as young as 7 or 8, Jabo said. The attack was not immediately claimed by IS-affiliated Boko Haram, notorious for signature strategy of kidnapping of girls, but bore all the hallmarks of terrorists. I saw this the other day, and I was pissed. I was seriously pissed. Apparently, just this last Friday, 2 women carried out suicide bombings at a crowded market in Megal, killing at least 30 people and injuring 67.
I have to wonder if suicide is preferable to being held by Boko Haram and ISIS. I've heard that there's lots of abuse of the women and young girls, but I don't know.
All right, this doesn't make any sense. This guy, I'm reading the comments here. Someone said, religion of peace blows again. What a wonderful religion. Someone says, you people who always cry against religion most likely are the ones covertly orchestrating these attacks. What? What? Wait, all right. I'm decrying against these things, but I'm orchestrating the attack? Oh, fuck. That doesn't make any fucking sense. How? All right. If I'm actively saying that this thing is a bad thing, I'm not going to go and actively create the chaos. That's fucking retarded. That's just beyond the pale of retardation.
You go down here a little further. There's purple raindrop. No, they were blown up, and let me guess, in the name of God, how sad. And then Love America 1970 says, no, in the name of Allah, not God. And then Olive Plain says, same fictional friend. Same difference. Both don't exist.
And the thing is, okay, first off, Love America 1970, I doubt they'll ever hear this, but Allah means God in that language. That's what it means.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, and then this orange cloud guy, progressive liars are the worst of them all. No.
Yeah, orange cloud's kind of...
Orange cloud is obviously somebody that has an axe to grind with... definitely a right-wing nut job or a religious nut job.
Pro-equality U.S. retailers are ruining Christmas for Christians. That was back on the Freethinker.
All right, let me try to get back to that, find that page again here.
I will share that.
Yeah, please do, because I've got like 10,000 pages open here. And only four of them are porn, so.
Well, we have priorities, right? It's
damn right. You got to have priorities.
Pro-equality U.S. retailers are ruining Christmas for Christians. Another day, another moaning mini steps into the limelight to complain about Christian persecution, this time in the form of gay-friendly retailers.
Oh, no. They are serving those people that like it in the butt. Then they're buying that stuff before I can. Damn those fucking gay people.
Meet Linda Harvey, above, founder of a nutty Christian outfit called Mission America, who's just written a piece for WorldNet Daily suggesting that godly Americans are fast running out of places in which to spend their hard-earned festive season dollars because the list of family-friendly, Christian-affirming retailers, restaurants, and service providers is shrinking by the day.
You mean that they actually have to treat everybody equal? Oh, no, we can't find the ones that are going to be bigoted to the people that we don't like. Oh, no.
Think of the children.
Think of the children. We can't go to Target because they put all the boys and girls stuff in the same aisle. And then they let these perverts who are men dressed like women because they identify as a woman go into the woman's bathroom.
Harvey told her readers she stopped going to Macy's in 2011 after learning about the retailer's grossly unjust policy against women. And a gasp, the Macy's star balloons are now a regular feature of most gay pride parades.
Oh, no.
Then there's Target.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
Yeah. And working herself into a right old froth, she moans that the companies such as Amazon, General Mills, Google, Facebook, PayPal, Levi's, and others have joined Target in their anti-American pro-deviance legislation.
Pro-deviance? I got to get on board on this deviant stuff. I'm not getting enough deviants in my life.
Yeah, you need to make. We'll make this list, okay? We'll put it out there. Say, if you want more deviants, go here.
Yeah, the deviants list.
And this is quoting her here, real quick, which brings us to another recent traitor, Walmart. This one-time reliable backer of Judeo-Christian standards has gone to the dark side in a big way. Walmart put pressure on the governors of Alaska and Indiana to oppose religious freedom bills.
That was Arkansas, actually.
Oh, Arkansas.
They've gone to the dark side by accepting human rights.
Yeah.
And avoid Mattel toys. They just created Moschino Barbie, which an ad featuring a tragically feminized little boy who plays with Barbies, a wicked accommodation to the current gender destructive culture.
Oh, no. A poor boy Linda that plays Harvey. With dolls. You ever heard of G.I. fucking Joe? No, no, that's not a doll. It's an action figure. let's see here. If Linda Harvey is trying to change that lot, she is into King Katui territory. I'm not sure what that means.
Katui?
Huh?
Katui?
Katui? Although, to be fair, Katui, he never expected to stop the tide, but wanted to show his couriers how ridiculous they were.
Canute.
Canute? King Canute?
I don't know who that is.
I'm not familiar with that either. The word desperation springs effortlessly to mind. If I had some advice to give, go get yourself a life, Harvey. Sexual anarchy and the dark side just seems to be Crispo just got a whole lot more interesting. These are on par with those pathetic, tortured creatures who stand on street corners yelling, "Doom and repent thy sins." Ordinary people shrink away or see them as self-obsessed zealots. My hope is that these louder than these rusty religious screwballs yell and scream, the more they their bizarre behavior convinces people that being open-minded and tolerant is far, far more preferable. Thank you. 1859. That's somebody's handle is 1859.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these are very, very positive, at least not towards with her anyway.
Well, this is the free thinker, though.
Oh,
so.
This is true. Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes even atheists and people who will post on religious boards saying, "Hey, you're fucking retarded." That's not a thing. So there's always going to be somebody that's going to be, you know, on the opposite side is going to be reading this going, "Ah, oh, that's not what she meant. Blah, blah, blah." You know. Go ahead, Tom.
I just put one up on the FFR is doing their job, or FFRF is out doing their job, stopping. There's a Good News Club where children had a Christian Bible study during school, and the FFRF said, uh-uh.
Oh, good.
Let's take a look at that one then.
So the Good News Club gets bad news.
I've been actually kind of been involved with them on one level because there's this thing that's in Wisconsin that was called the Jesus Lunch. The kids would go outside during lunch break and these people would swarm around them and say, "Hey, we want to give you a sandwich that we've made with ingredients from our home, our nasty, nasty homes. And if you get sick, well, it's just Jesus's will, basically." So,
yep, I remember talking about that.
Yeah. Good News Club meetings will no longer take place on school day in Lincoln County School District in Newport after the FFRF got involved in 2015.
Newport, Oregon. Oh, sweet.
Nice. The Good News Club Evangelical Christian Children's Ministry was previously allowed to meet at several elementary schools during lunch. No, no, bad, bad club. FFRF legal fellow Madeline Ziegler. I want to pronounce her name right. Ziegler informed the superintendent, "It is illegal for the district to allow the Good News Club to meet at schools during the school day." He's absolutely right. Ziegler pointed to the McCullen Supreme Court case holding that the Bible classes in public schools were unconstitutional, in which the court said, "Here, not only are the state tax-supported school buildings used for dissemination of religious doctrines, the state also affords sectarian groups of invaluable aid that in that it helps to provide pupils for the religious classes through the use of the state's compulsory public school machinery. This is not separation of church and state." So on December 15th, Superintendent Stephen Boyd told Ziegler the school board had revised its rules on the community use of the school district facilities and would restrict access to schools by non-school groups during school hours. Thank you. FFRF parent complaint confirmed that Boyan presented the changes in this January school board meeting. Very good. Good job, guys.
Yep. Awesome.
Try to get that other story that you sent here. Maybe I'm already on it. No, that's the same one. Never mind. It just keeps reloading. I was wondering why this thing here kept reloading, because it's the same page. We've got a lot of good stories here. We've got a lot of good stories here tonight. You got another one, okay. Connie?
Well, yeah. There we go. Just trying to get this to open up. This is from the Free Thinker.
Okay.
Okay.
Connie's laughing. That's a good sign. Oh, my God. Okay, I like this one. Well, blow me. You don't often see a nativity scene like this. The visitors to the nativity scene in Lausanne, Switzerland, often get a fit of giggles when they saw a figure of Mary apparently performing oral sex on Joseph. Well, he's not complaining. It's not everyone appreciated the work of painstakers who rearranged the figures to suggest that Jesus' mom was giving Joseph a Christmas blowjob. That reminds me of a song.
Can't have sex.
Yeah, that reminds me of a song. It goes. Have you ever wondered if your mom ever gave you gave your dad a blowjob before she kissed you goodnight?
Oh God.
Franz Schumacher.
I never thought of that when I was little.
What's that?
I'm glad I never thought of that when I was little. Yeah. I'm surprised that nobody placed one of the sheep in front of the guy that's kneeling.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sheep
missed
fucker.
Opportunity.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah, the sheep are laying on their sides. I was like, oh, you're right.
Missed opportunity, guys. Next time.
Next time.
I like this story.
We have a life goal, right?
I have a life goal now. And this is...
Actually, I would have liked to have seen the sheep standing on... On like the edges of the straw, where Jesus at? What's that called?
The manger.
Well, the manger, the little basket thing that Jesus in, had the sheep standing on the edges of that, and the priest standing behind the sheep.
Oh, jeez.
There's two sheep there, so I mean, they each get one.
Franz Schumacher created the nativity scene at the market in Perquest in the picturesque Swiss city, called the prank disrespectful, and added it was not funny that his work had been desecrated. Oh no, you desecrated my work! Oh no, the world's coming to an end! Oh no, you desecrated it! You know what desecration is? That's putting coals, no, that's putting, what is that, some kind of slaw that it's, what is that slaw that's, you cook it with brats, what is that?
You
mean sauerkraut?
Sauerkraut, that's putting sauerkraut on a ham and cheese sandwich. That's desecration.
That's a Reuben.
Say.
I'm kidding, I'm totally kidding. Let's see here. That hurts me very much. My heart just broke. Oh, no. They do not know that it offends others. So what? But their brains cannot think that far ahead, as they have probably drowned them in alcohol. You don't know that. You don't know any of that. And all right, first off, he says, they do not know that it offends others. Well, your thing being there maybe was offensive to them. So... Is your ability to offend them is greater than theirs to offend you? And you don't have a right to be not offended, dude.
Nope.
You don't have a right to not be offended.
that, you know, they didn't dismantle, they didn't break the statues. They right. just rearranged them.
They just rearranged them. But while many did find it funny, the Metro reports the majority did not enjoy the change. Branding, it's a shame. One passerby says, they are really stupid people who did this. I mean, even children have to look at this. So what?
Children don't know what's going on.
They don't know. They don't know there's anything wrong.
Mommy, what's that lady doing to that man?
Hey, you know what they could have said? Just say, oh, she's praying to him. It's what she looks like she's doing. It looks like she could be doing that, too. They don't know.
Oh, Tom, this next story you shared, it's actually right below the one that we're reading on Freethinker. So where is this
from? I heard about this one.
Okay.
Being this is the last short show that we're going to have for the year, this one actually might be a good one to talk about, too, even though it's been kind of talked to death in a few places. The pastor made a scene on Friday by preaching that about the falsehood of Santa Claus at the mall. He walked around the Santa exhibit where the kids and parents were stood in line to see Santa, shouting that Santa isn't real and that Christmas is about Jesus Christ. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's never been about Jesus Christ. There's nothing in Christmas about Jesus at all, period.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, my name is Pastor Davis, David, kids. I want to tell you today that there's no such thing as Santa Claus, announced Pastor David Grisham, who identified himself with Last Frontier Evangelism. Last Frontier. Remember that term, because it is your last frontier, because you're never going any further. Well, organization exists to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the last frontier, Alaska. Really? Go out to Alaska, get lost in the goddamn crevasses of all those goddamn glaciers out there, and don't come back. On its Facebook page, Grisham spoke to kids and adults at the Mall of Amarillo, Texas. The Quiet Atheist, he's back, by the way, if you guys remember the Quiet Atheist. He's finally back and online, and he was talking about this. And this, he's out in Texas, actually, so he was. Mm-hmm. He said this is in his neighborhood, so he heard about this locally. The preacher was saying, Santa Claus does not exist, Glissom declared. The Christmas season is about Jesus. Jesus was born 2016 years ago. Evidence, please. He was born in a manger. Or if you read the other part of the gospel, he said he was born in a house. So was he born in a house or was he born in a manger? I've heard people actually say, well, it was both. The manger was in the house.
What, do we live in a barn? Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Okay. and... I got to find something. I wanted to share something with you.
Okay.
I was reading a bedtime story to my daughter. As I'm apt to do, I read her a lot of religious-based stuff.
Okay.
And last night I was reading her St. Francis and the Christmas Donkey. And I elaborate on some of the things that it says on here. And
no.
My daughter will point out, it doesn't really say that. But one of the things that I thought was interesting is I think it shows the true nature of God. Because the donkey originally had apparently short ears and short tail, but it was being a real pissant and making fun of all the other animals and the monkeys and the chimpanzees, which I thought was interesting that they chose those creatures. But
monkeys and chimpanzees at the birth of Jesus.
They pulled on the ears and the tail and stretched them out and caused the donkey's nice voice to become this horrible hee-haw that he's known for. And when the donkey complained what had been done to him, this was God's response. God was furious. He said to the donkey, "You silly little beast, I have shown you favor. And how do you act? Why, you dare to laugh at the creatures I have made. Because of this, you shall always laugh. You shall always laugh, but your laugh will be an ugly sound. And when many creatures hear you loud, ridiculous, hee-haw, hee-haw, they will laugh at you. And you
wow.
shall keep those long, clumsy ears and scrawny tail will stay with you." like a scraggly rope. You will always do the hardest work carrying heavy loads for the rest of your days, wherever you go. That shows what a vindictive prick God is.
Yeah, you know what the thing is?
And this is in a child's book.
You know what, Tom? It's been a long time, but I remember that story. I completely forgot about that damn thing.
Yep. I've even heard that one, and I'm not Catholic.
But I thought, I read this and I'm thinking, do they realize that they're showing what a vindictive prick God is? Or or was that the intention to show what a vindictive prick God is?
I think it shows you're not supposed to mess with God.
Stay in your place. Don't step out of line and you can't ever say anything bad about anybody else.
Well, you can't question God's authority.
Don't question God's authority or some shit like that. Yeah.
Right.
And of course, it all relates to one donkey doing this and donkeys for the rest of eternity carry the burden
of the
one
father.
Donkey.
Sins of the father shit.
So it's basically Adam and Eve. For donkeys.
And the snake.
Oh yeah, the talking snake. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So God is a vindictive prick. If you do it once, the rest of your eternity.
That's like that story that kids would tell. It's like, hey, keep making that face. Someone's gonna come up and slap you on the back, and it's gonna freeze like that.
Yeah.
Name one, please. They did that in some show or whatever. I remember a number of years ago, they say, someone's going to slap you on the back and your face is going to freeze like that. And they'd let go of their face and it actually froze like that. But it was a comedy show. So,
yeah.
Yeah, this is another one. We got a lot of good stories here. Unfortunately, we can only choose two.
Okay.
I like the blow me one, to be honest. That's a good one. But it's not a top story. It's a second. It's a good second story, though.
Well, much like Joseph, it's short.
Yeah.
You know, so. We know what he wanted for Christmas, huh?
Yeah, we know what he wanted for Christmas. And it wasn't his two front teeth. All I want for Christmas is...
Let's see. I do like the Vatican website thing.
Whoa, wait a minute. Go down. Is this an opinion piece? Review? It says reviews opinion. It says here. Expelled from Boston atheists for thought crime. Not sure what this is about. I'll have to check that out later. That's from archive. Further down it says Christian author. Masturbation opens portals to sex demons. Oh, well, I wish. I need more.
Are you saying the one from Friday the 9th?
Yeah.
It's Klingenschmidt.
That was Klingenschmidt?
Yeah, I'm sorry. U.S. jewelry chain branded demonic by Christian fanatic. That's what I was looking at.
Oh, I was looking at something else there.
Okay.
Let's see here. This man has a plan to force the Mormon Church to pay tax. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that sounds interesting. Oh, there it is. U.S. jewelry chain is branded demonic by Christian fanatic.
Yeah.
Did he get? I heard he actually got kicked out. He was finally, you know, he was put into office, and this last election cycle, they kicked his ass out.
They voted him out?
Yeah, they voted the fucker out. On his Pray in Jesus' Name program this week, unhinged Christian and Colorado State Representative, I thought he was, well, maybe it's X. I don't know. Is he still a state representative? I got a
Well, if he is, he wouldn't be out of office until January.
Okay. according to Right Wing Watch, Klingon shit, said that advertising executive at Zales under demonic possession, which is causing them to promote ungodly things like gay marriage. Because we want to sell to only straight couples who are not getting married, but gay people can get married now, so we want to sell them things. So we don't want you to sell them things because they're full of demons. This is a demonic spirit of not only inside the lesbian couple who are pretending to get married on his TV commercial, but now influencing and ruling the hearts and the ad executives who have decided at Zales Jewelers that they should promote this as a good thing to all of America. They are deceivers. They are fooling the American public, and we need to expose that as wrong.
I thought he didn't want people exposing themselves.
The last thing you want us to do is expose ourselves. Thank you, Dr. Vickman. He calls for the boycott and brand Visit Zales stores to give store managers an earache and urge Zales to pull all commercial and remain neutral in the culture wars. They don't have any responsibility to not do that. All right. These are the same fuckers that Target came out and said, hey, we're not serving gay people anymore. They would be going, they wouldn't say, hey, we want you to remain neutral. We want you to amp it up, be even more promotive on this.
Well, see, he doesn't want neutrality. The fact is, Zales has always marketed to heterosexual couples in their ads. He wants it back the way it used to be. Yeah. That's not neutral.
Yeah, no, that's not neutral. But he wants it. But I think he wants remains neutral. Even so, he wants them. Yeah, in what you said there. But I mean, he wants them to, you know, just to not say anything. Don't add more. It's like, hey, make this more natural and more normal for the culture.
Don't ask, don't sell, right?
Right. Don't ask, don't sell. Oh, by the way, speaking of don't ask, don't sell, you know what? On the last episode, we had a really good opportunity for a good namer on that because it was episode 404. If you go to a website and it doesn't show up, 404
error. 404?
Yeah, we could have had 404 Packard not found.
Oh, that would have been really good.
That would have been a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it says OMM added. I'm not sure who OMM is. An even greater concern is the commercial is airing when children are likely watching television. Oh, no. Oh no. Well,
Klingenschmidt braying follows a report that right-wing Christian outfit called 1 Million Moms had earlier called for a boycott of Zales. So OMM is 1 Million Moms.
Ah, okay. There it is. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, sorry.
No, that's fine. On the website, OMM released a statement according to Zales attempting to normalize sin. First off, there's no such thing as sin. Secondly, let's just say that there was. So what? To make matters worse, this ad is added during family time viewing time, such as football games and primetime shows. Because that's when people are out. That's when children are going to go out and buy diamonds.
Because children always sit down and watch the football games when dad's watching the game. No.
Yeah.
They're not.
I didn't watch football. I didn't watch football.
Zales ads to not be competing with the Budweiser babes that are going, you know, during football games, right?
Yeah.
Because that's also there's always such wholesome advertising during football.
As a result, Zales' social media channels have been flooded, and no post, not even an innocuous one advertising Bolivia watches, have been spared from the outrage. LGBTQ supporters are being vocal as well, pledging to back Zales with their wallets this holiday season. Because that's what's going to sell them. This is what's going to take, that's what it's going to take Zales to go, hey, yeah, you know, we like you guys and all, but they're giving us money for these little trinkets, these little stones. So
because this is a business.
This is a business. Yeah, this
it's
is a business.
Based on
we
revenue.
Don't, yeah, we don't really care. We don't care who gives us money as long as someone gives us money.
Yeah. This money could have been laundered by drug lords, you know, a year ago, but we're still going to take it because if it's legal tender, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Jeez.
Exactly.
I'm not promoting drugs or anything. I'm just.
Oh, sure, Connie.
Sure.
You're just promoting. You're just a drug pen. Don't hide it. You're a drug kingpin, and you're
name.
You're a drug kingpin, and your off hours. Practical you Magic know? 9 is your drug name, isn't it?
God damn it! God damn it!
I can't keep a secret. God damn it!
This is a long list of stories here.
We got a lot of stories here. See, this is why I like this site. Now we got a shit ton of stuff that we can go through here. Okay.
I'll say.
All right. All right. For the second story, let's go with the blow me one. That's a solid second story.
Okay. Well, Tom's supposed to be on this Friday too.
Right.
So.
Tom, do you agree with that assessment?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I like that story.
Okay.
And it's holiday specific.
Yes.
Just in time.
Yes.
That's right.
Just in time for the giving season.
Yes. What do you, all right, for our first one, do we want?
Mary's giving, that's right.
Yes. For our first story, do you want the pro-equity really retailers are ruining Christmas for Christians? Or the pastor tells kids that Santa Claus doesn't exist? Or the jewelry? No, jewelry's not so much the. Well, it's a good story, but
it was overplayed. We're not overplayed, but I mean, it's talked about a lot. But it is Christmas. It's holiday related, mm-hmm. So if you want to go for a theme and both have, you know, Christmas theme, the guy telling kids there's no Santa.
Okay,
I had not heard this one actually myself because I haven't been on the computer that much. I like that.
Okay. All right, let's wrap that up in a nice little Christmas bow.
We need unbelievable deities.
Oh, yes, we need an unbelievable deity. Thank you.
We could keep in the Christmas theme and look at Krampus. Well, he's not really a deity.
Maybe he is.
Maybe.
Let's see here. I'm going to see what today's god is. Today's god is the Monkey Twins, the god of crafts and Mayan mythology. Football crazy monkey brothers, nickname Huzbat and Hun Chayo, the ill-fated sons of sporty Hun Apatu, the wife of, oh fuck, I'm gonna break my tongue.
Zeno Zibalequala
Belo. I totally nailed that. They started off as a highly regarded creative kids, artistic, musical, and full of knowledge. They were top of the class in everything until one day, Hun Hapatu, their dad, introduced them to football. It's the gateway drug. Football's it's a gateway drug. You know that, Connie. You know all about gateway drugs. Suddenly, school was forgotten, homework was ignored, and their daily football practice became their only interest.
These cautionary tales have always existed. Comic books, football, dancing.
Well, this
Zales.
Is this Zales? Is this football season? I mean, if it is, you know, it might be a nice little.
Yes, actually, we're getting down to the last games of the regular season, and playoffs are coming up.
Already?
Yeah, pretty soon here.
Okay, actually, Krampus is in there. He's a German demon, also known as Grampus. Beware of the anti-Santa. You better watch out. He's more like Satan than Santa Claus.
Aaron Raw has a great, he's got horns and a great costume for that.
Really? Wow.
I was thinking we should do Horus.
Horus?
Since he's born of a virgin, December 25th. Like our Lord and Savior.
Okay. There's
so many similarities to the guy that we're celebrating.
Let's see
here. The famous falcon-headed Egyptian sky god. That's more like it. A property celebrity deity with impressive headgear and impeccable celestial connections. Usually, his eyes are on the sun and the moon. Now that must be painful. This made his original worshippers starry-eyed with wonder. You've heard of the Eye of Horus, haven't you? Actually, it was more of a squint. The son of Isis and hapless murder victim of Osiris, he fought with the evil Set. Tooth and nail to avenge his father's brutal death. See Min's entry if you want to read more about this nastier details. What a fight! Horus was eventually declared the winner on points in round 80. Okay. During the battle, his moon eye was poked out. That's why it's black on one side. I don't know. But he managed to get it back afterwards. And it was a bit battered after he generously donated it to his shadowy dead father, who was rather in need of some body parts, including some of that he was very fond of. Oh, wow.
Don't cheat on your wife.
Hey, kiddo, I need something down here. I'm kind of using that, Dad. Really, please? I need it. Trust me, I need it. Well, okay, clock. Just here you go. Since Osiris, the king of the underworld, has worn the unearthly false eye, especially at night. Well, of course, where else would you wear it? We reckon this is why the moon always appears a little unreal and spooky. Meanwhile, Horus now just has one eye, although you've never seen him wearing an eye patch. Well, that's just gross. What do you need to know? His falcon is on his head, but we don't know his name. He seems to have started out as an odd old god of light named
Halitosis. No.
Halitosis. I don't know. Hariosis. I don't know. He has four sons called imaginatively Son of Horus. Sons of Horus. There we go. You're the sons of Horus. Which one are we? Which one am I? You're the son of Horus. Which one am I?
Mom's
the son.
Whore?
You're also the son of Horus. You are also
mom's
the son
whore?
Of Horus. Your mom's a whore? Yes. And I'm a whore too. Horus. So we're whores. They assist with funeral duties and the dead, helpfully. Let's see here. Male deity. No alternative names. Ancient Egypt, god of the sky.
I just sent you a link on how Horus and Jesus compare. Got a lot in common.
Let's see if I can find
that. Not to be confused with Tutankhamun.
Now, I have heard some stuff on this, actually, that a lot of this stuff is actually not quite true, actually. Some of these things are actually not correct. Both were conceived a virgin. That was one of those things I think it wasn't actually true. Both were the only begotten sons of either Osiris or Yahweh. Horus's mother was Mary. Jesus' mother was Mary. Horus's father was called Joseph, and Jesus' father was Joseph. Now, I had not heard that one. Both foster fathers were royal descent. Both were born in a cave, although some Jesus had been born in a stable. Actually, there was one. I think there was a story where Jesus was supposedly been born in a cave. Actually, I heard about that a few months back, actually. Both had coming announcements of their mother by an angel. Horus' birth was heralded by the star Sirius, the morning star. Jesus had birth heralded by the star in the east. Sunrise in the east. Okay, the problem with that one is that according to the way the Bible is set up, Jesus was actually been born in the springtime or late fall, but was not born in December. Because it was just after just before the time of the birthing of the sheep or whatever.
I don't know. springtime or late fall, that's a lot of leeway.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. The first time I heard about this, it was in the Zeitgeist movie.
Yeah, that, I think, and that's where a lot of the people, that's where I'm getting, I'm reading a lot of this from.
Well, there are similarities, though. It's just that not everything that they cited was actually part of the other mythologies. It's
right.
Just, you know, it's not saying that it's wrong, totally wrong. It's just saying that there's a lot of things that are quoted there that you'd have to be able to, you just might source it.
Yeah, some of those, yeah, because
I mean, both stories are pretty much completely made up. So
yeah, they're all both made up. Yeah, definitely.
Well, and the fact is that the Hebrew people were actually lifting the mythologies of the places that they were around them. You know, they were borrowing stories, and so I don't think there's a problem with saying that.
Yeah.
Anyways, keeping with the Christmas theme, I thought I'd throw him out.
Okay. I'm going to go back to Krampus here for a minute. Let's see here. There's no mistaking the two festive spirits, the jolly round fellow with a fluffy white beard. The other is a menacing, shaggy-haired Eastern European monstrosity with hideous curling horns and a huge red tongue. They both do carry sacks, though, not for the same reason. Oh, no. Krampus pulls
off... One to give presents, one to collect kids.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Krampus pulls off his evil opposing shtick with a little more irony than that. Krampus is a part of a carrot and shtick approach to children's behavior. That sound like somebody you know? Jesus. God. Yahweh. Good kids are rewarded with lovely gifts and the Father Christmas magic sack. Naughty kids get a visit from Krampus, who stuffs them into a sack with much malicious glee. The legend is clearly designed to frighten the very narrow marrow out of any child. That's right, Frederick. If you have not been good at all, not been good all year, you will find yourself carried off to Krampus headquarters, where all the naughty children will go to be punished. What is that sound I'm hearing in the background?
Sounds like a printer.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this poor the poor kidnapped kids are chastised severely for their wanton transgressions and then eaten.
Oh, God.
Disturbingly, nobody seems to ever call the police. In fact, the grown-ups seem to encourage the repulsive monster in his horrific activities. Krampus is coming to get you, and I'm not going to call anybody when you disappear. Oh,
we can always
thank
make
you,
another
Mommy or
one.
Daddy. We'll just make another one to replace you. But it's not
a
all
long, cold winter.
Yeah. But apparently it's not all bad. In some religions, the tradition, Krampus does actually bring gifts. Okay, so all right. They are evil gifts of horrible people for a horrible people. But it's the thought that counts, isn't it? If you're an adult who despises children, this helpful beast will supply such practical gifts as whips, chains, big sticks, and possibly even hideous homework, which to punish the bludgeon the little ones. Wait a minute. Whips and chains? Damn. I want to be on Krampus's naughty list. Can I be on whips and chains? You know, there's this old saying. I gave my friend, all right, I have this old, very old friend. We're still friends even to this day. I gave him this keychain many years ago. It says, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but whips and chains excite me." So, with his goat-like appearance and wild behavior, Krampus bears more of a hintless, devilish satyr pan. The Christian church is very cross about all this apparent devil worship going on. But once a pagan beastie managed to get the better of Jesus. Well, see, there we go. That's how it. Despite the severe warnings of the priests and saints, his brand of malevolent judgment was just too popular. Krampus was immune to... What is this? Secretion?
Syncretion?
Syncretion? I've never heard that word before.
Maybe it means being absorbed.
I'm not sure. It was immune to being... I don't know. Hmm. I have to look it up. Evaded bans and dodged every decree that the church could throw at him. Interesting. a very rare instance of an ancient pagan legend surviving Christianity unscathed. Krampus shenanigans continue to this day. Many
Europe... Synchronizing.
I'm not sure.
Sorry.
That's all right. I'm trying to... I'll let you look that up. In many European countries, December 5th is Krampusnacht, a sort of Halloweenish redux, featuring groups from often inebriated Krampi, roaming the streets and frightening people. The Night of Krampus is, as schlock horror movie suggests, a glorious extreme costume parade, complete with shockingly ugly makeup and props such as rusty chains and birch switches. Tradition dictates that these Esrats, Krampuses, may only be warded off by a token offering of schnapps. I'm going to get you, beat you with my thing. Have some schnapps. Okay. You're spared. The slightly unsavory habit has now passed across the USA, where it is now enjoys a bizarre notoriety. Krampus costumes are now available in all evil retailers. If I had the money, I would buy a Krampus costume.
Like I said, Aaron Ross got a pretty good one, but he pulls it off even without the ornamentation.
So which one do you want to talk about, Tom? Do you want to talk about Krampus? Because it kind of fits with everything else we've been talking about.
Yeah, either one. I like Krampus.
All right, let's go Krampus then.
Okay.
We'll go with Krampus.
And then it's just True or Troll.
True or Troll, which is yours, Tom. Remember, just remember, read the headline and
yeah.
Try not to embellish too much on it, because then it just gives it away at that point. Oh, and Connie, can you find me a nice picture of Krampus and put it out?
A nice picture of Krampus?
A nice ugly picture of Krampus.
There's plenty of them. I will do that.
All right. A good picture.
Yes.
With him smiling, eating a child, maybe. I don't know. with a foot hanging out the mouth. Something like that. Because it's just the thought of that. It's making me hungry. I got to go eat some baby now. So.
Yeah, I will actually give you a choice of maybe a couple if you want.
Okay, that'd be good. That'll be fine.
All right. You pick which one you want.
Okay, very good. Very good. Okay, be sure to check out our secondary show, The Atheist, the Bible, and the Wardrobe. A new episode will be dropping this Friday. So, yeah, there's that. If you would like to make a donation to the show, it's go over to patreon.com/PackardPokesAt, where you can make a nice donation to the show and help keep my lights on. I'm just glad that this time of the year that they don't shut your power off in the winter. Otherwise, my power would have been off months ago for non-payment. So, you know, that's a thing. Anyway. Or you can go to GoFundMe and click on and look for Packard's Payday. Connie set that up. Thank you very much, Connie. You can make a donation there. You can make a monthly or a one-time donation. Help keep the lights on here, too. Did we miss anything? I think we've got everything.
I think we did.
All right. Very good. All righty. Let me find my thing here. Here we go. Okay, everybody. We will see you next week. And come for next week for our Okay, Let's Talk. We're hoping to get a guest host on with us. We're still trying to find somebody that's going to be available. But, you know, this time of year, it's kind of sketchy. So, till then, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.